Over the last week, the thoughts of everyone at the Press Row podcast, within the gaming community, and outside of it, have been with the victims and everyone affected by the tragedy in Jacksonville at a Madden tournament. EA will be holding a live stream fundraiser for the Jacksonville Tribute on Thursday, September 6th, to benefit the families. So please, support the cause in any way possible, whether that be through a donation or by simply banding together with others in this difficult time. We've now reached the point in which the majority of sports games for the year have just released, or they're about to do so. Multiple games came out this last week, and early opportunities to play other upcoming ones debuted. We're going to discuss several of those and our thoughts on them in this episode of the Press Row Podcast. With me, Brian Weedye, Pasta Padre, tonight, I've got Mark Foley, also known as Rain City Gamers, and TJ Lauerman, he's That Sports Gamer. So, Mark Foley, we have a certain game here that came out that I know you've spent a lot of time with. You're a big fan of the series over the last few years. It's the Golf Club 2019. Tell me about your experience with the game so far.
Yeah, you actually left off the most important part. The Golf Club 2019 featuring the PGA Tour.
Absolutely.
Which is a big part in more name than I would say in execution. But it is definitely huge for the series to be able to add that. And yeah, you're correct. I've played this this series for the better part of 4 years. And it's really been the best golf series in town over that time frame, regardless of what platform you're on. And I would say my real quick overview, and obviously we'll dive into this a bit deeper, is it is definitely a step forward for the franchise. And I really personally feel like it's what we all wanted the Golf Club 2 to be. So let's start with probably the biggest thing, which we were just talking about, the adding of the PGA license. So as I said, I think it's more of a perception is better than the reality when it comes to this, mainly because when you hear the PGA Tour, you think of a lot of stuff, right? Tons of courses, pros, all kinds of stuff. Mm. Well, in this game, they have 6 licensed courses, so just the 6. Now, it doesn't mean there's only 6 in the game, because as many know, the Golf Club has a very robust course editor, and they have thousands and thousands of courses available to you because of the community building these courses. And they've also actually cherry-picked some of those courses from the community, so they're available within the career mode, which is where I'll start with the PGA license. So they have now a career mode, which is relatively new to the franchise. They had a little bit of one in the second game, but not nearly what this one is. So with this PGA career mode, you start in Q School. You then qualify for web.com tour. And then as you play through the web.com tour, you're trying to then qualify and get to the PGA tour, where you get on to, it's a 28-week schedule or 30-week schedule on the PGA tour. That's where you'll see those highlighted 6 courses, the TPC courses like TPC Scottsdale, TPC Sawgrass, TPC Boston, Deer Run, Southwind, and Summerlin, I think, are the 6 they have. And those tournaments are represented, right? Like the Waste Management Open is where you'll play on TPC Scottsdale, for instance. Okay. And those courses look spectacular. I think they like lasered them down to like centimeters. Mm. So the contours are, you know, essentially a replication of what they are in real life. Now, the other courses that fill in the gaps, though, while they're not official, they're actually fun to play. They're very well made. As I said, they basically cherry pick some of the best within the community. And I think HB also built a few of them as well. But those also look great and play well, too. So I don't want people to be scared off by, you know, not having access to all these different PGA courses. I will also say, too, I believe HB has mentioned they may add some down the road. Okay. Now, there are no PGA Tour pros in the game, mm-hmm. which I think is a bit of a bummer. And I think most people will just assume they're going to be there, but it is a second license that they have to get. And you know, maybe down the road they'll add that. But currently there's just some AI that will be playing with you within the game. And what's good and bad about this is there's at least players there. You have a leaderboard and you have people that you're playing against, right, on the computer side of things. But you can actually go in and edit the attributes of these AI members. You can change names. You can even change likenesses. So if you want to spend some time, you can actually go in and you can create the PGA roster, right? You can add Tiger Woods. You can add Jordan Spieth. So you can kind of replicate that in that fashion, right?
But they all play the same.
Yeah, well, not the same, but you're correct. You can't change the stats, so you can't make, you know, certain AI members better than others, or you can't go in and make, you know, I don't know, Dustin Johnson have his stats, you know, driving stats be better than, say, I don't know, Tiger Woods or whatever, right? You're correct. But they definitely play differently. So what I found is that you can play a few tournaments, and then you could actually maybe wait to go in and do that, because you'll start seeing kind of the cream rising a little bit. There are certain AIs that just play better than others. So maybe wait a little bit. You can go in and edit them. And then, you know, if somebody's really, really good, then maybe make them, you know, Dustin Johnson or whatever. But you can't go in and edit them, which is a bit of a bummer. I actually tried to lobby for them to be able to do that. And originally, they weren't actually going to let you edit the AI names. And that was kind of their compromise with that. So, but that's really the career mode on that. And that's a big chunk of the PGA license. Okay. Now, one of the other additions in this game is the matchmaking side. So in the previous golf games, the golf club games, there was no matchmaking. You could do private lobbies, you could do private matches, you could create your own societies, and you could play people that way. Mm-hmm. But there wasn't a mechanic where you could just hit a button and then get automatically paired with a random person and then play through a round of golf. So I think this is a big addition to it. It's not something that I play all the time, but there are tons and tons of people out there that wanted it in TGC 1, wanted it in TGC 2, and they finally now have it in TGC 2019. My experience with it, I've played a handful of matches, and they've been positive. The matchmaking didn't take too long to match with people. There was one time I waited like 2 or 3 minutes to match up with someone. I am on the PC, so I don't know how the console side, maybe the console is more populated. Maybe it's a bit quicker to match up with somebody on there. But you basically just click a head-to-head button. It'll match you with someone. You don't have to be the same skill level. And so this game still brings along the club skill level part, where you have three sets of clubs that you choose that determine you know, your difficulty within the game. You have a beginner set of clubs, you have a player set of clubs, and you have now the master set of clubs, which was known as the tour clubs on TGC 2. And the differences between the clubs are the beginner clubs hit shorter but are far more lenient when it comes to executing the swing. The swing tempo, the swing plane, you can be, you know, it's a lot wider window there to hit those. But you don't hit as long, right? So there's a give and take there. And then as you move up the difficulty, you have to be much more precise. Your tempo has to be better. You have to execute the swing better. So what's nice in the matchmaking mode is you can click matchmake. It'll matchmake you with people. I found myself sometimes playing with other people that were playing with beginner clubs. And so they were teeing off like, you know, 100 yards in front of me. And I think this is both good but kind of bad. It's good because, you know, just like golf and handicaps, right, the whole point is that people of different skill levels can play together and still be competitive, right? So I like that aspect of it. But there are some weirdnesses to that, because there are times when, you know, they have an advantage over me because there's such a shorter hole for them. Mm-hmm. I felt like that it didn't happen all that often, but it was definitely worth noting. Okay, but I'm just glad that that's in the game. Like I said, there's a lot of people that were clamoring for that. And so that's definitely a huge boost there for the game, because there's a lot of people that came from the Rory McIlroy or Tiger Woods that's all they did, right? All they did was play people online and, you know, look at themselves in the leaderboards and just try to improve where they are on the leaderboards. So that's now a thing in the golf club, okay? You can also do private matches still. They've added some different game types or game modes or, you know, match types. So you can do a team alt shot now, which is something people have wanted forever. You can, of course, do match play. You can also do a skins game now, which is new. And that, I think, ties into some of the virtual currency stuff as well. But either way, that's the matchmaking piece. Okay. Now, on the course, what's new on the course? I think this is the best on the course golf club of the three. So as I said earlier, it's definitely a step forward in the franchise. On the course is great. It looks great. It plays great. They've updated the UI. It kind of has this visual pop now that it just hasn't had in the past. Very much refined and clean. I remember the first time I booted it up, I got a sense like it almost felt like an EA Sports title with how clean everything looked, which says a lot coming from an indie studio. So they've made great strides there. Okay. Now, gameplay-wise, as I said, the swing, The swing itself is still the tempo-based swing, and you can choose the three different club sets to fit your difficulty.
Can I ask you real quick? You're playing on PC. Are you using a controller?
Yes.
Which one?
Yeah, this is a good question. I'm actually playing with the Xbox One controller on PC.
Okay.
Yeah. There is a mouse swing, but it is not three-click. So there is no three-click option in this game. So just for people out there that maybe are more of a three-click fan, you're not going to find that in the golf club. It is geared towards the controller. But for mouse people, you can use the mouse if you want, but think of it as like Golden Tee, right? You hold down a button, you pull the mouse back, and then you push it forward. And that's what determines your tempo and your swing plane.
How is the precision of the stick? Because in the past golf club games, especially Golf Club 2, I think, I got frustrated at times because I was fairly certain I was swinging straight, but then the feedback I got would just send the ball way off course.
Yeah, you are not alone in that. I think there's a few ways that they've actually improved kind of the approachability of the swing in this game. One of which is I do feel like the swing itself is a lot more refined and polished. It doesn't feel quite as rigid, or maybe a good way to say it is it feels a little bit more lenient in that regard. So I think that they have heard the cries of what you just said, and they've gone in and they've made some adjustments. And I don't think making it easier is the way to put it. I just think that they, in the Golf Club 2, I don't think they implemented the swing the way they needed to. And so I think that they went back and they just essentially refined it. So it's not as finicky this time. I think a big key here, too, is they've also added additional swing feedback to the UI. Mm-hmm. So as you remember on the right, they used to have the little red cone, and they would just have a line up and a line, or a line down and a line up. And then it would tell you, you know, what your tempo was for your backswing and your downswing. And that's it. But you didn't know why. Right. You would be fast, but didn't know how fast. You would be perfect, but didn't know, okay, well, am I in the middle of perfect? Am I on the edge of fast? Am I on the edge of slow? There was no way to know where on this meter you were. Right. And I think that led to people being really frustrated with the game, because nothing's more frustrating than feeling like you had two identical swings. One is fast and one is perfect, and you don't know why they're different. Okay. This game changes that. It gives you that information in that swing area there to the right. It's going to tell you where you're at on the tempo with both your backswing and your downswing. So this is something that you can go to the range and you can refine and you can just swing through. And for me, I feel like, and I don't know if I'm different or maybe people will agree with this, but I don't mind being bad at something. What frustrates me and what would lead me to stop playing a game like the Golf Club is when I don't know why and I can't improve it. And so I think this is a big key with that, is not only have they made the swing a lot more approachable in terms of just making it more refined, but they've given you the information that they did not have on the last game. And so it allows you to, you know, understand why you're swinging bad. And that usually lends yourself to, you know, practicing that, or at least not feeling like you got cheaped out of a good swing.
Yeah, so you're within the community for the golf club. You're a big part of the community. How is the reception to the game so far overall? What are people really enjoying the most? What are they maybe finding some issues with that we're looking for some improvements on in post-release support?
Yeah. I think overall it's positive, right? And we're a week into this. And as many know with sports games, you know, you play 10 matches and you feel good. And sometimes you play 100 matches and things change. Right. But for now, I think it is for the most part positive. A lot of the stuff people are enjoying they have improved the chipping in the game, which was a huge eyesore in the last game. It was real finicky. Balls would stop. Balls would sometimes run. You never really knew why. But they've gone back. They've readdressed the chipping ball flight, how ball spins on the chips. And so it just looks and plays a lot better. They've also improved the flop shot now. In the first game, the flop shot was almost overpowering. It was just like a cheat code almost, because it was so easy to perform. And so they overcorrected it in the Golf Club 2 and made it almost impossible to use. So people wouldn't even use it even when it called for it. And now I feel like they've found a really good middle ground for that. And so I think that kind of goes back to just the on-course part of this game. It is great. I mean, the putting is still amazing. Everybody loves the putting. I think it's probably the best part of the game. And there's also a few other things too. Like you can now aim when you're in your scout cam. For instance, like you're on the tee box, you can hit a button to look forward in the fairway where you're supposed to land. You can now aim and change clubs from that. This is more of a quality of life thing, right? Instead of having to go back to the tee box, aim from the tee box, switch your clubs, then zoom out again. So they've made that part there kind of nice. They've added a fast forward button, which I think is good. There were times in the golf club where you're just like, I don't want to wait for this ball to roll and roll and roll.
That's torture too, by the way, especially yes. on the green when you've gone too long and it's just going down the hill.
Yeah, I think all of us have wanted to do what Phil Mickelson did at the Open, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly right. You're like, I don't want – this is agonizing.
Yeah, so thankfully now they've added a button. You hold Y and it actually fast forwards it. It doesn't skip it. It just fast forwards it and you can watch it as it goes. Now, what are some things that are concerns or things that people want improved? I would say the biggest thing that I've seen, and I actually agree with this, is for whatever reason, some of the ball flights are a lot more shallow in this game. And this applies to all clubs, but it's more of a problem, I would say, on the lower clubs, your shorter clubs and your wedges. So what ends up happening is your ball comes out a lot shallower, which means it doesn't come in at a steep angle. It comes in at a very shallow angle, which means it hits and it skips and it rolls a lot more than you assume it would, mm-hmm. right? You get a wedge from 100 yards, you think it's going to land, hop, stop, right? In this game, it seems to run a little bit more. And I don't have a reason why. What I feel it is there's a loft box on the right and it's like a shot shaper. And in the previous two games, that shot shaper, the default loft was kind of in the middle of the box. And then you could, you know, increase loft or you could, you know, decrease loft. And then that would determine your flight path and how much spin you had, et cetera. It feels like in this game, they've defaulted the loft to be on the lower part of the box, you know, almost default closing up your faces, which is odd. And so that makes it shallow and it makes it run. And I think that's a concern for people. There may be people that won't even notice this, but that's one thing that's different. I hope that they'll actually go in and readdress that, maybe patch that to change that a bit, because it does change the experience. It does look a little odd sometimes when you hit in like a 9-iron into a green and it runs, you know, 20, 30 feet onto the green, right? So I hope they can adjust that. The second thing is, and this is something that is both good and bad, one of the things that's plagued the golf club series is the over-penalization of the rough. So you used to hit it into the rough, and if you hit into the rough, you might as well have gone in the water because you just had to basically pitch it out and then hit it to the green. Like it was almost impossible to recover, which I think is a problem because a lot of golf is about scrambling, right? And that doesn't mean it has to be easy, but you have to give somebody the opportunity to get out of trouble. And I just don't think they gave these that opportunity as often or in the right way in the golf club one and two. Well, in this game, they've changed that. But unfortunately, they've kind of overcorrected it, which is why it's in this section in terms of a concern. There were many, many times where I hit a ball into the heavy rough, unfortunately. But when I got there, I was met with a lie that was very, very fortunate, like 93 to 100% in the heavy rough. And it's not that that lie happens. It's just that it happens so often that you start like not even caring. Like there was a few times I hit the heavy rough and I was like, ah, whatever, I'll be okay from there, you know? And I've never felt that way in the golf club. Like usually I'm pissed off if I trickle into the rough because of how it usually is. Now, like I said, I want to be able to recover and I'm glad they did it that way, but I feel like they did overcorrect. So I think they need to dial that back just a touch because it does feel a little odd right now. And I do feel like it feels a little cheap at times too. Mm-hmm. And then the final thing in terms of concerns is something that maybe a little bit more on the me side, but I have heard other people concerned about this. And this goes back to the tempo swing. Now, I am playing on the Masters clubs, so I'm not sure how it plays on beginner. I'm not sure how it plays on the player clubs. But on the Master clubs, it feels like the perfect tempo on your back, on your downswing is slower than it should be. It just doesn't feel like it's at the right pace in terms of how your avatar moves on screen, in terms of just how it feels. Like it almost feels like you have to decelerate as you're swinging through, which is just not good in golf, right? Like the last thing you want to do is decelerate. That's like cardinal sin in mm-hmm. golf. Mm-hmm. And so while you can get on the range and you can refine this, and I've definitely gone in the hours that I've played it from hitting a lot of fasts and very fast to not hitting as many anymore. But I do still feel like even though I've spent time and I've grooved my swing into a better spot, it just feels on the slow side. So I'd like for them to maybe move that pocket of perfect up a little bit, maybe 10 to 15% faster. I feel like that would just make a lot more sense within the game world that they've created.
So I think with the golf club, which is now, this is the third game in the series, and it's just been 1 year since the release of the second one, which is almost unheard of for what was an unlicensed game. So when they brought in the PGA Tour, that to me said, okay, this is obviously a big moment for the series, and they're hoping to start and expand the audience that they have. This is a game that's very sim natured. It's very realistic, almost to a punishing degree. So the question I get the most from people is, you know, they're coming from a background of just having played maybe the Tiger Woods series or some of the other arcade style games that have been out. And they want to know, is this a game that they can adapt to? Is this a game that they can start up and they're going to want to continue to learn and improve at and play? And the first two games have, especially the first one, didn't have any real resources to try and improve. It was all about just failing and learning from your failures. And for a lot of people, that's just not sustainable. So do you see Golf Club 2019 as a more friendly game, something that people who are looking to make a transition to a new series, because this is the one sim game, one sim golf game really that there is now, do you think that they would find enjoyment in that and find what they need to get better at the game?
Yeah, I think the answer is absolutely yes. Now, as you said, I think of the three games in the Golf Club series, this is by far the most approachable. Now, is it still in the sim vein? Of course, right? You have a tempo swing. There's no way to not have a tempo swing. But you can choose those three different club settings, and I think that helps make it more approachable. And some of the things I mentioned earlier, right? The swing is a bit more refined now, so it doesn't feel as random, doesn't feel as cheap as it did in the past. They've added that swing feedback. So not only can I know I'm swinging fast, I can see how fast, and I can go to the range and I can fix that, or I can at least understand what's happening, which I think will make people feel better when they're not playing well. Also, they've added some features from previous Tiger Woods games, and they've kind of meshed them in with the golf club. As I said earlier, they've added that aiming reticle and the scout cam. That was not a thing in the previous games. They are allowing you to use a preview shot now. So in previous golf club games, you could click a stick and you could hit practice shots, you know, sitting on the fairway. And then you can click a stick again and then hit the real shot. Well, now they've added actually preview shots where you can click the stick and you can actually hit a real ball onto the green as a practice shot. Now, these are limited. You can't just do it on every shot. They give you like, I think it's a couple per nine or something like that. But I think this allows people who are having problems, who want to have a few extra strokes on the course to get a feel for how things work, how the physics work, how the wind works. This allows them to go in and actually do that on the course. Okay. Also, too, in terms of just difficulty wise, when you're playing through the career mode, which I think is a big part of this, too, they have a much better offline mode, which I feel like is where people will gravitate towards if they feel they're not good or if they're wanting to just, you know, refine their game and have an experience that way. You can not only adjust how good the AI is in the career mode, but now this is brand new to the series. You can adjust the course conditions. So you can make the courses easier for you. You can make them softer. You can make the speeds less on the greens. And so you can tailor the game to your skill level. And I think that's key. So the combination of all that, I feel, makes this probably the most approachable of the golf club games.
Great. And one final thing. So the other aspect of this is 2K is on board publishing. Again, trying to expand the reach of the series and use their expertise in marketing and you know, their also ability to generate revenue post-release. And so we see that now with the addition of microtransactions to the series. It looks to be implemented in a way that isn't affecting necessarily the gameplay, but is sort of optional, and that's... that's the case, not always in 2K games, which creates kind of a pressure to feel to that you have to spend money to enjoy the game. Doesn't seem to be the case here, but can you tell me about how that's been implemented here and whether that's having any effect on the game, you know, negatively?
Yeah, I have good news here. I've played about 15 hours of the game, and I honestly forgot there were even virtual currency in it because I haven't been prompted. I haven't felt the need to do so. So I imagine that the virtual currency probably only applies to all the cosmetics that you can get in the game. And this is a game, too, that isn't attribute-driven either way.
Right.
Because, as I said earlier, you know, for better or for worse, you don't have attributes that you chase in this game. You organically get better, and then you kind of, you know, phase your way up from the different golf club sets. But everybody has the same stats. So there's no way to, you know, pay to win, for instance. And then the golf courses are already unlocked. I think they've mentioned that they'll have golf courses later added. Now, I don't think they've mentioned whether that's virtual currency driven or whether you have to pay for those. But either way, there's still the course designer, which I've barely talked about, which is one of the best tools in all of video games to not only access new courses that are built by other people, but also build your own courses as well. So the virtual currency stuff, I would have no problem there. I would have no, you know, if you're on the fence about buying it because of microtransactions, there isn't anything in this game that leads me to believe that that's at all a negative. It's all cosmetic from what I can tell.
All right, so Mr. TJ Larriman, that sports gamer, I know you've been out of town the last couple weeks, but I bet you've been able to get some gaming time in outside of that.
It was actually very nice to take some time away from gaming. We were gone for about 2 weeks, so it was a nice chance to refresh my batteries before the barrage of fall stuff coming out. You know, while you guys were talking about that, I literally made a list of all of the sports games that I want to play this fall, and it's, I think, 14 deep.
Yes,
not including the stuff I'm already playing, which is kind of rough.
It's that wonderful time of the year when all the sports games release.
Yeah. But yeah, coming back, actually, I did play before I left. I think I left a couple days after Madden launched. So I was able to get in there, play a bunch of Ultimate Team. They've done some cool stuff. I know we had our review podcast a couple weeks ago. Still liking everything so far. Still a lot of systems just to completely understand with all the power-up stuff and all the ways of applying chemistry and things. But now I've gone back. I've dipped my toe in a little bit more MLB, playing ranked seasons from time to time. I'm never going to get an immortal. I am locked in on that belief. And I'm...
Let me ask your philosophy on that, TJ. To have cards that are, for most people, unobtainable, right? And I think we may have talked about this before. But how do you feel about that? To know there's maybe something you would like to have in a video game that you know would increase your enjoyment of the game, but that there's no reasonable way in which you will ever have them.
Well, I mean, it sucks. Kind of a lot, but... yeah, it's cool that I can see it there, but then it's also very heartbreaking knowing that I'm never going to get to the parts that I need to unless I pay someone to log into my account and just go play hours and hours. I did get to like the first Chipper Jones that way. That kind of helped a little bit, but I'm never going to get an immortal. It sucks. And I'm almost to the point where I kind of hope they don't do immortals again. I don't know if everybody loved it, and it feels like it's kind of hamstringed all the new content they put out.
Do you want to explain what it is, what an immortal means, TJ?
The immortals are just the super jacked up versions of legendary players. I think there's like 12 or 15 of them. And so what they do is for each attribute category, they take what their best rating would have been from their best year of that category. So if one year someone was really good against right-handed pitchers and they hit a whole bunch of home runs against them, they will have 125 power versus a right-handed pitcher. But if there was another year where they did really good against left-handed pitching, they'll have 123 power versus left-handed pitching. So it's kind of like taking all of that player's career and smushing it down into one super-duper extra amazing card. And also while you're doing that, you get, I think it's two or three others of that player to highlight specific years. But yeah, and I hear some of them don't play well, like a couple of them just aren't that great to use, even with their crazy statistics or attributes, but I don't know if that's a gameplay issue, because it still feels like one of the things we were promised in the beginning of the year was, you know, contact hitters are going to matter. And it still feels like contact hitters don't matter. I don't know if it's... I've been trying to figure it out, and I have no idea what it is. I feel like every time I play, I get more confused about what upsets me. Because, like you guys, when you were talking about the golf club, you were talking about how they changed the flight path of the ball, where it'll go higher and then come down, more of like a soft landing on it. I think that's my main problem with the show, is that too many balls are being hit like that, and for the most part, the gaps are pretty much dead, because it feels like an outfielder is going to get there, and if you try to drop one in front of the center fielder, the second baseman is going to have enough time to get out there and make a play. It just feels like there's like not... You don't get solid contact even when you're supposed to be getting solid contact. But I'm undefeated since I've been playing in the last week I've been playing. But I think it's all been home runs. No, I actually won the last game 1-0 on a little dribbler where one of my runners scored. But I think all the other games were I hit more home runs than the other player. That was the only way I could win.
That seems to be the case ever since it released. I mean, what is the state of the game at this point? I know we're, 5 months, 6 months into release, and so naturally people are going to tail away, and especially when you get the Maddens and the 2Ks of the world releasing.
Yeah, but last year, I have to go back and look. I was trying to do this earlier, but I feel like last year when Madden came out, they made like a pretty hard content push like the week before or the week after Madden came out.
Mm-hmm.
We just didn't get that this year. They just announced like a new Luis Gonzalez card and a Ralph Kiner card. They both can hit, but they both can't play defense, which is a lot of cards in the game. So it really didn't feel like they were anything special. It's just a weird feeling. I think even in like the community as a whole, there's just not a lot of happiness. Like the tweet that they put out about the blog post, I don't think I saw like one positive comment on it.
Yeah, social media has turned on their official account. It's always been pretty negative because they use social media very differently than most other video game publishers or developers do. Basically, they just like to post memes. At least on the official account.
So the thing that happened yesterday, as of the time we're recording this, it was Ted Williams' birthday.
Mm-hmm.
And so they tweeted out a picture of Ted Williams in the game saying it's about time that we get Ted Williams in this game. And then they put out today's roster update, and they added that Luis Gonzalez card and a Ralph Kiner card. And there's still no Ted Williams card in the game.
Wait. He's in the game, though, right? But he's not in Diamond Dynasty?
I don't believe he's in Diamond Dynasty yet. I need to double check, because maybe there's like a rookie card or something hiding around, but I think people were assuming he was going to get an Immortal, and we still don't have that or any real idea. It's just very
confusing. It seems really weird with it being almost September at this point.
But again, with most other sports games, you know, 5 or 6 months out, you're not really expecting there to be much.
But it's still... that's true. Baseball, though, a long season.
Right.
Now we're in September. And, okay. So maybe there's only 10 teams in the majors that have a chance of making the playoffs at this point. Actually, the NL is more wide open. But there still should be some interest in baseball right now. Or at least it has been in the past.
I would think it would be ramping up right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think what happens is a lot of the, at least from like what I see on Twitter and YouTube and stuff, a lot of the content creators that are doing stuff in the show have already moved over to Madden, and already gearing up to jump over to NBA 2K or NBA Live or something right now. So.
And the show is probably the most difficult to stream or gain an audience streaming or keep an audience streaming. So obviously 5 months, 6 months down the line, that's going to be the case. And when there's new games out, those are the ones that everybody's looking for, everybody's searching for. So it's understandable in that sense. But there's definitely been a bit of a discontent nature to the reception of MLB the Show.
Yeah, I mean, me and Chris were doing bullpen banter up until a couple of weeks ago. We're like, we're not happy playing the game, but it's not like we're not excited to play the game.
Yeah.
And if we're going to do a show about a game, we want to be excited about it. And we want to be like, yeah, do this. Yeah, do that. Go check out this. See this. And that's just not there. And we've been doing bullpen banter for almost three years. And it was just like, I think Chris plays like an offline franchise. I dip into ranked seasons every two or three nights. I play like one game and then I turn it off and I say, okay, I'll go back to Madden for a little bit.
I mean, do you think that it's because of all the hitting issues? I mean, I haven't played the game a ton, but I know on Twitter and they've been some updates. Like, I feel like one update, they make home runs super prevalent. Another update, they take it away. And then it's like, I don't know. Do you think that's the issue? Is just the hitting inconsistency and what they're delivering?
Yeah, I think that's like the main thing. And what's weird is like a lot of it is now kind of getting blamed on the server stuff. Which, this is the first time the servers have ever worked, and I feel like I have not really had any problems connecting with people, and I don't get the thing where, you know, I hit a ground ball to the second baseman, and then I see you throw it into the stands, but on your screen, you threw it to the first baseman, and he made an absolutely normal play, and my guy's out, and I'm wondering what the hell just happened.
This is the first year I haven't heard people complain about the servers. Yeah. Usually, that's kind of a shoe-in for MLB the Show, so... Yeah,
But now I think people have been trying to research, just trying to figure out what's wrong with the hitting. And they're thinking part of it's to do with like the timing and the servers and everything. So I think that's the main thing, because it's been a lot of, you know, pop-ups and dribblers and home runs. Those are your three options.
And they really pushed right before it released how many different like hit types they had too, right? Because they were changing it to like a circular model instead of a square model or something like that. Some sort of algorithm.
Yeah, and they were changing the physics and the air pressure and how balls travel, and it's supposed to be as so realistic. Like, they had the video with Aaron Judge. They like took his home run and they put like his real life home run, and then they put the exact conditions into the game, and the ball went like a foot and a half away from where it actually hit in real life, which seemed cool at the time, and it just has not bore out to be, you know, fun gameplay.
The weird thing is that they, you know, obviously there's been a lot of feedback about this, and they know all the complaints and everything, but they're almost like a stubbornness to not wanting to do anything about it. Or there were several patches where they apparently did things, but apparently that did not, get to the point where people were satisfied. And then they're just like, yeah, we're done doing anything with it. It's just kind of odd to me. I don't know.
Yeah, and like, I don't know. I'm getting upset just thinking about this, because this is like my favorite. This is like my favorite console game.
Well, that's the thing.
Not being happy in, is this the end of August, September when this comes out? Like, I played this game till February, multiple years in a row, and like every year I would be like, "Yo, guys, we got to get those votes, or I'm gonna be the show. It's got to win Presto Game of the Year." Like. I know online was just pretend like online wasn't even a thing in the game, and it's still the best game of the year, right, guys? And it's like, I'm just upset that like this year, I'm just upset that I don't really care about the game anymore right now.
All right,
but good news, good news/bad news. Good news for the sports gaming industry. Absolutely horrible news for me and my wallet. I'm looking at this list: FIFA, PES, NBA 2K, NBA Live, Fire Pro, WWE, NBA, what are they calling this thing? NBA 2K Playgrounds 2?
NBA, is that the full? NBA 2K Playgrounds 2, yes. It's an awful name, but yes, that's it.
What's it? Maximum Football, NHL 19, Forza Horizon 4, The Golf Club, Franchise Hockey Manager 5, and the Out of the Park Baseball Perfect Team Beta, #ad.
Nice.
That's a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
There's a boxing game coming out in VR as well, the Creed game.
Well, I don't have VR, so I'm safe for that right now. And that's not even talking about other games like what's coming out, Red Dead and Battlefield.
Oh, yeah.
And all this other stuff.
Spider-Man, Tomb Raider. Yeah, those are all on my list, too. So
I'm so terrified that I'm not going to know what to buy, that either I'm going to spend hundreds of dollars on games that I'm not going to play, or I'm just not going to buy anything.
Forza Horizon 3. I can't stop coming up with this.
Four.
Yeah, four. Yes, four. Yeah. I mean,
three was really good. I was looking at the case to make sure that number was four.
Yeah,
Game Pass. I'm excited for that.
Xbox Game Pass. At least I won't have to pay extra for that one.
Yeah, it's funny because I had another group of guys I talked with too, and we were listing off all the games just like we just did, and just like we just did, and we did this earlier. Nobody mentioned Assassin's Creed Odyssey. Like, I feel like I forgot the game was even coming out.
They make those games. Well, they're not going to make one next year, so we're good.
That's true.
Well, Rich Christian, I'm sure, will be all over that.
No, that, well, 3 years from now, though, when it's on Game Pass.
That's right. Yeah, he's up to 2013 or something now, so he's making progress.
That's true.
He'll get there.
And the thing about this list, I feel like none of these games give me everything I want, which is the weird thing. Like, NBA Live sounds like really, really awesome. And in the franchise, it sounds terrible. And then 2K sounds awesome. And then there's still problems with my team, and I'm kind of terrified to go into any of that pro-am or court stuff that I've... All that creative player stuff on, like, playground courts is what I really want to do, and I feel like every time I've jumped into that, I've not had fun because I'm not good at the game.
Okay, well, and like, TJ, let me talk about the basketball games, and then you can see what how you feel about them after that. So I played the entirety of the Prelude, which is the free. It's kind of it's basically acts as the demo.
I just downloaded it. I'm very excited.
Oh yeah, so it's well worth playing. Like the first year of the Prelude, you got to play the cool college stuff, which was neat. If just a novelty, it was still pretty cool. And then last year's, I mean, you'd be better off not playing it because there's just terrible story. Hated the character that they make you play as. I mean, it's just really stupid, the whole thing.
Is there a story mode this year?
Yes. So that's 2K is so deep that it becomes difficult to define. So my career mode is the story mode. It's also where you find Pro-Am, Park, and numerous other neighborhood, you know, several other different ways to play all within it, right?
Right, because that's it's the same dude in everything,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's where your character lives, is in my career. And then it extends to all those other things. So the Prelude gets your start on that with your character. You create your character, the story begins, you're in China, and it's really cool because you're playing these games in China, and they have Chinese announcers calling the games. So the whole thing, wow. I have no idea what they're saying, except for your guy's nickname is AI, and you'll hear him say AI from time to time. But I just thought that was really neat. And it's just, the story is a little more grounded. I don't hate the character this time. He's really, like, incredibly insecure. And it creates some conflicts, which is it's a little silly. All of these ones are going to be that way to an extent. But I like it a whole lot more than I did the last few. And it's more substantial. The Prelude, you get to play, I don't remember how many games it was, three or four. It's several full games. You're going to be able to upgrade your character a little bit through that and earn some VC through that. And then it cuts out before he moves on kind of to a new stage of his pursuit of making the NBA. But I really liked it a lot. And that's a little surprising to me because I'm a little, you know, skeptical about these story modes now because they're pretty often terrible because they go year to year. It's tough to do that. It's tough to come up with a good story and direct it in a good way and give you the right amount. You got to balance the right interaction, how much you're going to interact, how much influence you have on the story or building your character. And they did a really good job with that. Also, you have the ability to skip through the cutscenes now, finally, which is a major deal because in my reviews of NBA 2K in recent years, one of the biggest complaints is they just flat out waste your time. They make you sit through screens that you don't or scenes that you don't want to sit through. That you just want to button through and move on. And it also prevents you from really wanting to ever start a new character or anything because you had to sit through all of that. So that's good as well. So I was really happy with the Prelude, and I'll be curious to hear what you think, TJ, because I think it's one of their better ones they've done, at least from the start. So I'm pretty happy about that. And the gameplay, of course, really good for what you're doing. Again, you're only going to be your single player, although there is a cool kind of, I don't know, I was going to say twist. It's not a twist, but this is the, well, it's the 20th year of 2K. It's the 19th iteration, but they're calling it the 20th anniversary edition. So there's a bit in the story where you go into an arcade and they have supposedly the original NBA 2K game and you sit down and you actually play it. It's not an emulation of the original 2K game, unfortunately, but they do pixelize it, and the mechanics have been turned back a bit. So what you're used to doing on the controller is not familiar to you necessarily. It's a classic Celtics team versus a classic Rockets team, but it's pretty neat because it looks and feels a little bit like an outdated NBA 2K. It reminded me of, and you'll probably remember what I'm talking about, Mark, with Uncharted 4. Assuming I'm pretty sure you played that, but they had Crash Bandicoot in there for it kind of reminded me of that, because they went to it and they're like, hey, let's play this, and then it cuts to the game and it gives you the feel like you're actually playing the original game within your game.
Well, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, so I posted a GIF from the game. You can't really tell in the GIF's too small to see how they pixelated the visuals and stuff, but it's just a neat little thing they threw in there to represent what they're calling the anniversary this year.
Did they kind of approach it where, like, last year they had that arcade mode in MLB The Show because Griffey was on the cover? Was it kind of like that?
Yeah, that's the feeling I get from it anyway. I don't think it's explicitly stated, but you definitely get the sense here they're trying to celebrate the 2K franchise at this point by throwing that in there and saying, hey, remember when we used to play this game back in the day, and let's sit down and play it again and see who can win. So it's just,
did they make a fake Dreamcast for you to play on, or no?
No, if you look at the GIF on my Twitter feed, you'll see it's supposedly an arcade machine, TJ. So you're in an arcade, machine, and then you sit down, and then it cuts to what looks like a screen, or what kind of looks like the outline of a TV screen, or what you would see, I guess, with the surrounding. What's surrounding the screen. So, but it was really neat. That was kind of a fun thing that I got there that I wasn't expecting. So they did a good job of mixing it up. There was also, you had a couple opportunities in game. Instead of just playing the games normally, there was, I think, two situations where you got to choose something. It was kind of like a QuickTime event in a sense, where it's like, do you want to do this or do you want to do this? And then it plays out a scene, like a scripted scene. Which goes back to like something that the first year of Longshot and Madden did really well, which was get you interacting and then just give you something, kind of a reward for that, instead of, well, did you execute or not, just on up and down the court all the time. But I was able to do pretty well. I averaged almost a double-double. So I was doing pretty well in the games also. So that it just felt rewarding, the whole thing. And that's unusual for these preludes or for demos. Anything that I play beforehand, I just don't really look forward to those things where you're going to be stopped before you can complete something, or before you can truly figure out how much you're into it, or what you like and what you don't like. So I love the Prelude, which, again, that's something you would probably hear from Rich Grisham. Maybe not from me. So that says a lot, I think. NBA Live, on the other hand...
I have a 2K question.
Go ahead.
Any famous actors that I should know about? Michael B. Jordan coming back?
No, nothing, Anthony Mackie. Of course, Falcon.
Falcon, from, yes. Yeah. Controls, still super crazy?
Yeah.
If you want to be, like, high level?
Yeah. I mean, it is. I don't know if they really changed anything in that sense. But... I'm pretty familiar with them now, at least the basics, and I think it's a lot easier. Okay, so I would say maybe you don't want to be a point guard. You're going to be more reliant on your dribbling moves and things like that. So I chose, and I typically like to play as a wing, but I chose a power forward, and then you're choosing your archetypes. It gives you different options on what style of player you want to be, and then your ratings are going to be based off of that. and your progression is going to be based off of that. So I chose a post scorer and a rebounder. And so, and basically, because I was thinking, how am I going to collect stats in an efficient way? And that's with rebounds. And with,
is that what they call a four?
Yeah, you could call it a four, sure.
I don't watch basketball.
Okay. But yeah,
I have a quick question too.
Yeah.
This may be something that both of you know, but so I know that they kind of merged with the Playground devs, right? And they kind of took over that Playground license. Is that correct?
Well, yeah, they're publishing it. I don't know how much influence. It's kind of same along the same lines of Golf Club, where they're publishing it, but they may not have a whole lot of influence in what the devs are doing at this point.
Got it. That may have answered it, because I was going to ask, is it like included in 2K or is its own standalone?
It should have been.
Okay,
but it's standalone. It's standalone. Okay. It's releasing sometime in the fall, so probably October, November. I would not be surprised if they did a package deal with the two of them together at some point, or maybe let you download it from within 2K for a discount or something. That would make a lot of sense. I think because there is a bit of an overlap between what they have in the park. It's not totally arcade, but obviously there's similar themes going on in different parts of 2K versus Playgrounds. So I wouldn't be surprised if not this year, then maybe in the future we'll probably see it integrated in some way.
Cool.
NBA Live, TJ, this has been a series that, as you know, I think is a little friendlier as you're talking about controls and that. Friendlier to people who are newcomers to the series, newcomers to basketball video games, or maybe aren't super familiar with basketball, period. And it probably is still the case, but this is very much NBA Live. So EA Access is how you can play it now. You can get a full 10 hours.
I should do that. I should definitely download that, huh?
Yeah. So you can get a good feel for this game because it is really not an NBA game. And maybe that's the right thing for you. It's really not an NBA game because it's not about the NBA team so much. It's not about its franchise mode, which last year was just embarrassingly bad, and this year is barely any better. We all knew that was going to be the case because they didn't talk about it. They didn't talk about it before release. Ultimate Team, still a little bare bones compared to the FIFAs and the Maddens and the NHLs. Not necessarily a bad thing, but it's not going to have a lot of the features that people have come to like in those. But where the game shines is in its career mode, which, again, like 2K, you're creating a character, but it's less of a story. It's more about playing on in different venues, whether it's on the streets or reaching the NBA, or they've got these cool courts that you can design now. You can design your own court. Unfortunately, you can't upload logos like you can in 2K, but the options they give you to play around with the court and the surrounding elements, maybe even a little better than 2K's system, but I just don't like it as much because I can't upload my own logos. But it's cool because you then go on and you can defend your court and you can try and conquer other people's courts. And on those courts, you get to set your own rules. So there's all sorts of different crazy rules you can set. Some of the basic ones being like you get 4 points for a dunk, 3 points for a layup, 2 points for a jump shot, 1 point for a three-pointer type of thing. But going like well beyond that to where you can get 9 points for a blocked shot, stuff like that, which is, yeah, it's not simulation, right? But it's kind of fun. It's kind of fun in a way because it's not about being realistic in that situation. It's about just having a good time and doing some wacky stuff and winning down eight and winning a game with a block shot. Like, yeah, you know, you got to strategize differently. If you're the other team, you're not going to try and even shoot the ball. So, just kind of neat, with that, called court battles and, gameplay still obviously not on 2K's level, but it is, like I said, a little more accessible, and you can have fun with it. The commentary is just atrocious. Like, this is commentary you would think back when 2K started. It's really bad. They swapped out announcers this year, brought in Ed Cohen and Jay Williams, and it's just, I don't even know where to start on that. And Rich will not care about that because he doesn't listen to the games anyway. But people
who
do.
Nobody does. Nobody does, Brian.
Maybe. But I think a part of the package is the atmosphere in NBA Live is really good. So the crowd reactions, the crowd sounds, really good. And you miss out on that if you're just not even going to listen to it at all.
That reminds me, there is one thing that actually has me excited for NBA 2K. As a huge fan of The Ringer. Mm-hmm. They're adding Bill Simmons in to do some commentary stuff.
Does Bill Simmons really seem like the voice you'd want on the game? Like, first of all, I'll point out...
Listen, I listen to him for like 5 hours a day telling me about over-unders for the AFC and NFC, and guess what? I don't give a crap about football, and I'm definitely not betting on football. But he can just talk. I'll listen to him talk all day.
No, I like him too. I think the thing with the commentators in NBA 2K is that they have so many of them. I think it's like 15 almost now, that they'll rotate in and out. And so that helps keep it fresh because you're not going to hear Bill Simmons in every game. He's not going to be there in every game. But if you're playing their My League or My GM or you know, anything where they're rotating the commentary teams, you're going to get him every once in a while. And then it is going to feel special when you've got Bill Simmons for a game or you've got Kobe Bryant or Kevin Garnett or whoever else they throw in there. So, I mean, they've done a great job, not just with the commentary, but with that type of variety of bringing in personalities like that. So
I think that's huge because, like, I was going to say, it's big with the announcers because, like, in the golf club, I basically turn off the announcers.
Has that changed? Has the commentary?
Is it still that guy?
It's still the same guy, so you either love him or you hate him, really. I turn it off, not because so much I don't dislike him, but he just gets old and tiring after a while. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. They've added a kind of a color guy. I forgot what the guy's name is. He's some Australian dude. He actually is on like a lot of the PGA stuff. So they do have like a licensed guy there too, and he adds some color to what's happening. But overall, like I just personally would rather just turn it off and listen to the crowd and like the, you know, the actual natural noises and stuff. But what you're saying, I may be more leaning towards leaving it on in NBA 2K if I were to play that. So,
yeah. Yeah. It's worth it at least at first. And then you can make that determination on your own, but they put a lot of effort into it. And so it's worth at least giving it a shot. So that's my thoughts on the two basketball games, which, you know, the great thing about this is, yeah, we have competition here. I don't really feel like they're competing with each other, but they're very different type of games. So 2K is really has incredible depth, has so many different modes, including multiple different franchise modes and different ways you can play them. And they put incredible effort into improving those every year, even though I look and think I don't know what else they can add in there. They always find new stuff. Live, you know, at a lower price or something, I think would be a decent consideration for people who aren't super hardcore into what 2K is offering, or for people who want to avoid that microtransaction pressure that 2K has, which is still present even after the backlash last year. But I think they've made a few changes to alleviate some of that. And even though you're starting at a really dumb place at the 60 overall rating, I was still performing pretty well, and they apparently are making it a little easier for you to continue upgrading just through playing. So we'll have to see how that turns out, but that's where I'm at with those games. Mark, anything else with sports or not that you wanted to talk about?
Yeah, one other quick hitter here. I was able to also pick up this week the new PSVR game, Firewall Zero Hour. Mm-hmm. And what this game is, it's a 4v4 VR game, like a shooter. And think of it as maybe Rainbow Six in VR. And it is a ton of fun. I've played maybe 2-3 hours of it. They have one game mode, but the game mode's pretty varied. It's like a mixture of like attack and defend and team deathmatch. The connection and everything, the lag and all that was great. They have 12 different operators that you can choose. The operators have different attributes. You play with the PSVR aim gun, so that like plastic VR gun that you can get. It came with Farpoint. I think you can buy it separately now. Huh. And they have a bundle you can get with Firewall as well. But it's awesome. Like, I had a ton of fun. I'm actually looking forward to diving back into it this weekend when I have some time. And my one, I guess, concern, which isn't anymore, at least for now, is anytime you have these, you know, online centric VR games, you worry about the population and games filling up. I had no issues this week playing that game. Games are filling up very quickly. And the community is very talkative, very friendly. I didn't run into any a-holes, which is always nice. Now, again, this may change. But my first impressions were very, very positive. So I'm looking forward to diving back into it.
Where is VR at this point? Because it seemed like, obviously, when everybody released their VR sets, that it was a big deal. And there were people who thought it was going to be the next big thing. Kind of flatlined for a while, or not completely flatlined, but it definitely tailed off. And we don't really hear about it much anymore, with the exception of some game announcements. And it's obviously being enjoyed by some people.
Yeah.
So like, how is it surviving at this point?
I know Sony released numbers, I think it was a week or two ago. They said they've now sold 3 million of them. So I feel like it's probably not taken off the way they assumed it would. But I don't think it's, you know, a failure or anything that they would get away from. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's just more of a slower pace in terms of sales and adoption. But I know the PSVR headset is a better seller than, say, the Vive or Oculus. So they're definitely getting more customers on there and more users. And I feel like now we're coming into the second year, we're just the end of the second year, getting into year three. And there are some great games coming out. I think Firewall kind of starts that. We have that, as I said earlier, that Creed boxing game that's supposed to come out next month. So I'll be interested to see how that plays, because I feel like boxing and VR just seem to go together if they're able to do it right. And there's also a Ace Combat 7 is supposed to come out, I think, in January, I believe. And that's supposed to be really great on PSVR, too. So
is that VR only, or is that also regular?
It's regular. So just like Resident Evil 7, which still to this day is probably the best PSVR experience I've had. You can play either way. So, I think, like you said, it's definitely something that I don't think caught fire the way maybe people thought, especially maybe Sony thought. But I think it's done pretty well. And I feel like we're kind of getting into a nice maturity phase here of year three. And there should be some really good titles, more of like actual, maybe AAA is a bit, bit strong of a phrase, but I think you're going to have more complete packages now. I mean, this Firewall game is a complete package, right? While it is a 4v4 online mode, you do have like a training mode you can play offline. And as I said earlier, there's a lot of depth to it. You have 12 different operators you can use. You have attachments, guns you unlock, you know, so it kind of takes from Rainbow Six and applies, you know, a lot of that depth to this game. And that's not usually what you've seen in these VR games as of the last couple of years. A lot of them are kind of, you know, we're going to test this out. We're going to see how this works. And, you know, on very surface-based stuff, like, hey, this proof of concept is great, but there's not a lot of meat on the bone. And so I think now we're getting into more meat on the bone. And so it'll be interesting to see where it is, say, a year from now.
All right, Professor Sports Gamer, TJ. Fire Pro Wrestling World released this week on PlayStation 4. Mm-hmm. Highly anticipated. It's been out on PC for a while. I know you own it on PC. What's the latest with that? How are you feeling about the game and the latest developments now that it's out on PS4?
Well, one of the developments that did not make me very excited was right before the PS4 version shipped, they delayed the NJPW collaboration DLC on the PC, which is kind of like the big story mode stuff that they were rolling out. And the first time they were ever partnering with an actual wrestling organization to put actual wrestlers in the game. So I was really disappointed when I came back to find that out, because I was really looking forward to that. I don't know if I already have the season pass. I don't think I have it yet on Steam. I don't think it's up for sale, maybe. But yeah, when I saw the pricing on PlayStation for this Fire Pro stuff, I was kind of taken aback. The base game on PS4 is $50 US. For our Canadian friends, it's probably a lot more than that. And then the season pass, if you want to get the, I think it's four different content rollouts. There's Fire Promoter, which I think is like you create your own organization story mode thing, I believe. And then Fighting Road, which is the 2017 NJPW Junior Heavyweight Championship thing. And then another scenario on top of that. and a PS4 theme. They want $50 for that. And that seems like a lot of money.
It's a tough sell if you already own it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you can buy the two together for 90, which I guess is better, but I feel like I would just need to see what this content is like before I would want to spend that much money. Because the base game, like, you have a lot of modes and ways to play and everything, but there's not really like a real story mode or anything to it. So like $50 for just kind of free play seems like a lot to me. Especially since I think they have like a PS3 version. I think they had that Fire Pro Wrestling Returns they put out, that used to be a PS2 game they put out for like $20 at some point. But this is like $50 for a full game and then another $50 for a season pass. It just seems like a lot right now. And
seems steep.
And from what I've heard, like, the created characters are getting built, and it's a little bit of a frustration to get them into the game, because I think you go to get the players, and it just, like, takes you to a website. Like, it launches a web browser in the game.
Oh, boy.
And then you sign in, and then I guess you pick the things you want to download, and then the game downloads it, which obviously with Steam Workshop, that's way easier. Like, you just go into Steam, click download, and the guys are there when you load up. So, yeah, I was really excited to get it on PS4, and now that since I already have it on PC, and if it really is going to cost me another $50 to get the pass, I'm just going to get it on PC. I'm not going to buy the game again. And yeah, I'm a little disappointed about that. Hopefully, there's a sale on that at some point. It's still a very good game. I like playing it on PC. I did play a couple matches while I was on vacation. I brought my laptop and one of my Xbox controllers. It still plays really good. So I guess if you know what you're getting into and you know that it's non-licensed stuff, unless you end up buying the expansion stuff and you're willing to put up with the work of going into a PS4 web browser and I think you sign in with your PSN account. And then you can get to the store, or not the store, but like where to download the guys that are created. So that just seems like a lot of work.
Oh my god!
That would be like if the golf club came out and they were like, if you want a course, you have to go to this website, sign in through with using your controller through a web page, and then go find your courses that you want to download. So I need to get my hands on it just to see what it is, or at least watch someone else do it. A little bit more, but
gotta do share play on PS4.
Yeah, well, I'm gonna have to see one of my friends that has it, because I already know people that are like, I bought the season pass and I'm super not happy, and I wish I would have bought the golf club instead. So
yeah, it's a problem with paying for stuff that doesn't exist yet.
Mm-hmm.
In many many aspects of life, that's true. Finally, I wanted to say a few words about Pro Evolution Soccer 2019, which.
Ooh. Did you know you could do custom jerseys in my club? Because I didn't know this was a thing, and now I am super excited.
I did not. I've not spent a ton of time with it yet. My club did get a lot. It seems like a lot of upgrades.
Yeah.
So I think that could be pretty interesting for you. They did a lot with my club, and it's pretty different from Ultimate Teams in that mm-hmm. there's no pack openings. It's all about getting agents to try and get you players, and the percentages, playing the percentages there, but. Yeah, they did a lot with my club. What they didn't do a lot with is Master League, which is their franchise mode. So that joins several other sports games with not putting a whole lot into their franchise modes. But Pro Evolution Soccer 2019, man, it plays fantastic. It is so smooth. It's so free-flowing. There's really no moments of frustration other than natural ones that come with the sport, which is really all about just having those magical moments or those really disheartening ones. I think the ball feels more live. It's more, it's not stuck to players. It's not, not every pass is not perfect. The goalies have improved. Fatigue plays a bigger role. I think there's a fair amount of fouls being called. Which is something that the series has always had an issue with in calling fouls, and that's both on the CPU and on me. But look, if you're a traditional FIFA player, maybe the nice thing is this year we have a gap between the two soccer games. Pro Evolution Soccer here at the end of August, FIFA at the end of September. Usually these games come out, if not on the same day, within a few days of each other. So this is a cool opportunity to maybe have some new people discover Pro Evolution Soccer, which is an awesome, awesome playing game. The downside to Pro Evolution, of course, is it just does not match up in terms of licensing. And I think that definitely hurts. You can get over that if you're on PS4. You can download files that have been created to replace them. That's great. So if you get Pro Evolution Soccer, you definitely want to get it on PS4. Or I guess it's possible on PC too. But you, Xbox version is not very popular for Pro Evolution Soccer because you can't do that. But it's a wonderful game to play. I need to put more time in with it. It's just lacking a little bit in the surrounding modes, and it's lacking, of course, in the licensing. If you can get over those things, though, I mean, it's an awesome game. So
do they have the MLS in PES as well? As I know it's FIFA, but okay,
just FIFA. Yeah, that's one of them. PES also lost Champions League, of course, which FIFA naturally picked up.
Of course.
And so I was scrolling through the teams, and I'm like, let me find a team I recognize. Look, I'm not the biggest fan of European soccer. I mean, I follow it a little bit, but I don't know all the teams. But I would recognize a lot of the team names and stuff, and I was scrolling through, and I'm like, I don't think most of these are real. Like, I'm pretty sure these are replacement teams for like 80% of the ones I scrolled through. And that's just, you know, for a lot of people, for FIFA's just the easier package. You know, it's the easier thing as a casual fan to pick up, because you know 95% of what you want is going to be there already. Pro Evolution, you know, maybe it's 50%. I don't know what it comes out to, but it's just it's an easier buy. But if you play Pro Evolution Soccer, then I think it's. You find that something's there, and maybe you can overlook those things. And the nice thing is Konami has done a good job with, they put out at a certain point, I don't remember how late it is, maybe a couple months later, they put out a free version of Pro Evolution Soccer, which is really, it's based around my club, TJ. And so you wouldn't even have to buy the game at that point, because they're hoping you're going to spend money within it.
Yeah, I think last year it launched like a month after.
Is that it? Yeah, I mean, that's...
I might just wait for that. They do have a demo out now if you want to check it out.
Demo also. So, but I would totally recommend it if you can look past the licensing, and if you know the franchise mode, and it doesn't have a story mode like FIFA has. It the production value just doesn't quite match up with FIFA, but on the pitch, I would probably prefer it over FIFA, and I have for many of the recent years. So that's just my thoughts on that. I'll be doing a review on Pro Evolution Soccer on NBA Live, on NBA 2K in the week, probably in the week ahead. It's tough. I haven't had enough time to give to any of these three, really, other than finishing off the Prelude. And there's more. There's other stuff I wish I would be playing, but I just can't find the time for it. So
like Hitman 2 coming out this fall.
I'm trying to get through the reviews at least, so I can play games that I just want to play that have nothing to do with any of this, which is I've had Detroit, and I've been trying to get through it, and it's a little slow at the beginning. Mark, I don't know if you remember this, but I feel like it's a lot of busy work at the start. It's like I had to clean someone's house. Like, okay, that took like 15 minutes.
Yeah. the first parts of that, I would say you kind of have to earn it and get through it, but it's well worth it. I was a big fan of that game.
Yeah, so. I'm looking forward to finishing it off. But Spider-Man coming up, and then Tomb Raider, and like we talked about, it's just a murderer's row of really high-quality games.
I was actually happy that Battlefield got delayed, to be honest.
It's not the worst thing. I mean, it'd probably be better if it got delayed into early 2019.
Yeah, February, January, or something like that.
Give us something more then.
I personally think I'd rather just have it be delayed till the Battle Royale mode's ready with it to launch at the same time. But EA has to be in Q4, so they're going to do what they do.
Oh, yeah. The financial considerations there for them, of course.
Yeah.
Didn't the stock drop like 10% today just on the news?
I wouldn't doubt it.
Well, let's see. I know it did drop. It today it was only down 2%, but yeah, it's down from where it's been at let's see, 52 week high is 151. It's at 113 right now, so it's dropped. Was that 151 prior to
Battlefront 2 debacle? Probably
that might have been. But I mean, as is the case with these things, it'll just bounce back at some point.
Yeah,
it seems like it's not likely to keep dropping. So
yeah, especially if they get into this subscription thing like Xbox is doing, which they've been alluding to, and like the Origin Premier seems like a pretty sweet deal. So they'll be back.
The long term outlook is pretty good, but obviously. The markets react to news, so yeah, you're right. There's going to be a reaction to that, and so we'll see how things play out here.
Imagine if Anthem hits and Battlefield 5 hits, they'll be right back at it.
Yep, they can use it, that's for sure. So, all right, I think that'll do it for this episode. Thank you very much. Mark Foley, Rain City Gamers, do you have anything you'd like to promote or where we can find you, all that stuff?
Yeah, probably the two spots you can find me most frequently would be on Twitter. I am at Rain City Gamers, and I do also stream on Twitch. My Twitch name is Seamount, the number 4, Life, so Seamount for Life. I actually stream every Tuesday night, the golf club, at 7:30 Pacific time.
Awesome. TJ Lowerman, that sports gamer. Finish us off here.
All right, buddy. I got two things. I want to talk about, as I said, Bullpen Banter, kind of on hiatus since we're not really loving that game. But you know what we are loving? Me and Chris, we always want to be working together. So we started up a new Twitter account, at Mutt Huddle, MUTHUDDLE, talking about Madden Ultimate Team stuff. Very beginner level stuff. Like, I'm not going to tell you how to beat a cover 3, but I can tell you what the new stuff is in Mutt and if it's good for you or not. So we're thinking, we don't know if we're going to do a show. We're going to, I don't know, a show, a podcast, a stream. I don't know what we're doing, but we're figuring it out. So make sure you follow us over there at Mutt Huddle. And then the other thing is hashtag ad for our work stuff. We are launching an Out of the Park Developments Community Discord server. You can go to ootpdevelopments.com/discord if you want to talk about any of our games or the sports that they are based on. We had some good conversations about Josh Donaldson over there. Apparently, he's going to the Indians. I don't get it, but hey, what are you gonna do? But yeah, if you want to chat, you can go over there at otpdevelopments.com/discord.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much, fellas, and thank you to the listeners out there. Appreciate it. We'll be back next week. Another episode of the Press Row Podcast. Take care. Till then.